The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, November 13th, 2016, and is sponsored by Jim and Carrie Heikenliable.
Good morning. And welcome to worship on this beautiful day. It's good to see so many of you here today for Consecration Sunday. You'll be hearing more about that throughout the service. A wonderful day of celebrating God's gifts among us. Baptism of Hannah today. It's really a pleasure to welcome Pastor Mark Johnson from Belle Plaine, St. John's in Belle Plaine, correct? And he is our guest leader, so he'll be preaching us and leading us through the consecration component of planning our giving for the coming year. So, Mark, thank you so much for being here. And he will share his musical gifts with us as well. So we're very, very fortunate to have Mark with us today. We continue now with the order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We take a moment for silent reflection. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us stand and sing together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
pray together. O God, the protector of all who trust in you, without you nothing is strong, nothing is holy. Embrace us with your mercy, that with you as our ruler and guide, we may live through what is temporary, without living what is eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
The first lesson Bible reading is from Psalms, the 98th chapter. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory. The Lord has made his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth your joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with the trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it fills it, the world and those who live in it. Let the floods clap with their hands. Let the hills sing together with joy at the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God.
Special gospel reading that I want to share with you this morning. It's from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6 and starting out at verse 25. And Jesus says these words, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive after all of these things. And indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you as well." Here ends our gospel reading. Please be seated. I want to thank you for the privilege, really, and the opportunity to come to be with you here today to speak on your consecration Sunday. I want to thank you as well for the ways that you, the role that you play in supporting the various ministries that you have here at Holy Trinity with your time and with your talents. And today in particular, I want to thank you for the financial support that you provide that helps to underwrite the ministries that you share together here at Holy Trinity. Gratitude is one of the most important things that we can be talking about here today. As our gospel lesson for today puts it, I mean, think about the gospel lesson and what Jesus said. We worship a good God. We worship a loving God. We worship a generous God who clothes the lilies of the field in all of their beauty, who feeds the birds of the air, who provides us with every good thing that we have. It all begins with God. And then with gratitude for all of God's goodness and all of God's generosity, we respond. We respond to God's goodness with a grateful, with a thankful, with a generous heart. I want to mention three biblical principles briefly here that give us some idea about how to respond. And the first biblical principle is called first fruits giving. And first fruits giving means giving that, not waiting to till everything, you know, till the end and seeing what's left over. First fruits giving is giving right off the top as a matter of priorities. Reminds me of the children of a woman who had recently passed away. And they got together at her home to go through her things and to close up her house. And one of the daughters found her mother's checkbook, and she started to thumb through her checkbook. And after every recorded deposit of her Social Security check, the first check that she wrote was to her church, exactly 10% of the deposit. Then came checks for utilities and food and medicine and other basic needs. Then came checks for presents for her grandchildren and donations that she made to various charities. And as the family looked at that, they were deeply touched as they looked through her checkbook and just sort of had another opportunity to appreciate how kind and devoted and loving their mother was. One of her daughters put it this way. She said, "You know, my mother's life is, you can see what my mother's life was in her checkbook." And I think that's true. She practiced first fruits giving. She was consistently generous. She had her priorities straight. Her checkbook really did tell the story of her life, of her priorities, of really what was most important to her. What kind of a story do our checkbooks tell about us? First fruits giving. Next comes proportionate share giving, which means giving a fair proportion of what we have. Now, the amounts might be different. People have different amounts. And so it's not about the amount, it's about the fair proportion of what we have. Do we give God a tip, or do we give something more? There's a story of a pastor who made an appeal in his church for a really great and worthy mission cause. And a member of the congregation approached him with a check for $50. And she asked, "Is my gift satisfactory?" And the pastor said, "If it represents you." And after pausing for a moment, she asked for the check back. And she went away. She came back the next day. And she had a check for $500. And again, she asked the question, "Is my gift satisfactory?" And again, the pastor replied, "If it truly represents you." Well, she stood there for a while. And she thought about that. And considering all that God had done for her, she asked for the check back. And she came back a few days later. And this time she had a check for $5,000. And she placed it into the pastor's hand. And she said, "You know, after earnest and prayerful thought, I have come to the conclusion that this check truly represents me. And I want to just say that it's a joy. It's joy. It fills me with joy to be generous for the Lord and to offer this gift to my church." That's true. This woman knew something about proportionate giving. Instead of giving a tip, she prayerfully considered a gift that would truly represent her, that would truly be a fair proportion of the resources that she had. First fruits giving, right off the top. Proportionate share giving. And the third thing I want to mention here is sacrificial giving. We offer these gifts to a God who held nothing back from us. It's just simply right that we respond to this great and this costly and this sacrificial love that we have first received by giving our first fruits, by giving in fair proportion that truly represents us, by giving sacrificially with joy and with grace and with generosity to this God who has held nothing back from us. Now, today you have an opportunity to respond with your financial resources to support the ministry that you share together in common here in this community of faith. As one church's website puts it, and I really like this, "While all giving is valued and appreciated, pledged giving allows our church to best plan and carry out our mission and vision." And I like that. Intentional, thoughtful, prayerful giving makes a real difference. Reminds me of one final story. A pastor was asked to speak at a women's conference. And during the program, the chair of the organization got up and she announced a new mission project and challenged the members to step up to the goal of raising several thousand dollars to complete it. And when she was all done with her announcement, she looked over and she asked if the pastor, the guest pastor, would get up and come over and offer a prayer of blessing for this mission project. And much to her surprise, the pastor said no. He wouldn't do it. And then he stood up and said, "You already have the necessary resources to complete this mission project right here in this room. And so you see, it would be inappropriate for me to pray for God to bless you, since God has already blessed you with all that you have, all that you need to complete this mission project. The necessary resources, well, they're already in your hand. And so, when we take the offering and we do this thing and we underwrite this project, then we will thank God for freeing us to be the kind of generous and thoughtful and responsible stewards that God has called us to be as disciples of Jesus Christ." What do you think of that? To put it more succinctly in the words of an old joke, the good news is we have all the money we need. The bad news is you're sitting on it. Just think about it. Pray about it. God is good. We know that. God is so gracious and generous. He's held nothing back. Think about your blessings. Think in particular about this community of faith. This isn't your church. This isn't your pastor's church. This is God's church. As a gift of the Holy Spirit, we're invited into this church not because we're good enough, not because we've earned our way in, not because we've been here a long time. We're invited into this church in the gift of grace of God's baptism. That's how any of us got through the door. So it's a gift. It's a blessing. It's a privilege that you share in common right here. This is God's church. And God is good. And God is gracious and generous and loving. So then the question becomes, how do we want to respond to that? How do we want to support the beautiful place that you have here, this communion of faith? God is so good. How has God been good to you? What do you want to do about that? Thanks be to God. Amen.
I invite you to stand now as we join together in the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit,
born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and died and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Thank you.
Let us join in praying with confidence as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Dear and loving God, you are so good. Thank you for the opportunity to come together here today, for the gift of this day, for all of our blessings. We can be sometimes so overcome by the worries and concerns of life that we forget how truly blessed we are. Open the eyes of our heart to realize how truly blessed we really are. And open our hands with grace, and with joy, and with generosity, to support the mission of this, your church, that you have privileged us to be a part of. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.